to the second case on the calendar, appeal number 083913, United States versus Robert Gibson. Mr. Benavides.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Attorney Ronald Benavides. I represent Robert Gibson. I represented him at the trial level and during the appeal. I apologize for my voice. I have a cough and cold I've been dealing with. I would assert on his behalf that when one looks at his personal characteristics in the context of a sentencing, three salient or striking facts leap out, stand out. One is what was characterized in the pre-sentence report as his borderline intellectual functioning. Another salient fact, a striking fact, is that at the age of 13, he had a brain tumor removed. And after that, his family noticed that his behavior and thought processes had changed. And the final one is that at the time of the trial proceeding, he was sent to the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Chicago for a competency evaluation where he was prescribed medication for, among other things, a schizoaffective disorder. I would assert on his behalf that those are three facts that catch one's attention. In her sentencing analysis, Judge Crabb acknowledges these general factors under what one could characterize the category or topic of mental health problems or mental health issues. She does acknowledge that that category exists in a review of Mr. Gibson's personal characteristics. I would assert further, however, that she appears to gloss over the striking part of the facts, and it's almost as if the analysis steps back somewhat. For example, in her reference to the brain tumor, Judge Crabb noticed that since then, Mr. Gibson suffered from seizures. In reference to the medication, she noticed that medication could control his mental and physical health problems. What she did not appear to consider was the chronological fact that the medications were prescribed for the schizoaffective disorder around the time of the incident. He was arrested in February 2008. March 2008, he was sent on for competency proceedings where he was diagnosed and given medications. I think it's fair to say that the sentencing argument focused on that chronology, that he must have been dealing with some factors along these lines at the time of the commission of the crime.
You know, most of the time, these mental conditions come up when you've done one particular act and you want to be excused or have your responsibility mitigated for that particular act. This is unusual because it's a long history of drug dealing, and that requires a certain acuity for keeping the books and knowing who owes you money and all those sorts of things. And a hard time seeing here how his mental condition really affected him that much. And
yes, Your Honor. Mr. Gibson did not pursue a mental defect or disease defense, and Judge Crabb, in her analysis, used that very concept that his condition did not appear to impede his ability to be a drug dealer. Therefore, it did not appear to warrant a downward variance. However, I would assert on his behalf that the point is that his mental condition, these factors that he was dealing with roughly in the time period of the incident, may well have contributed to his being a drug dealer, not by way of evading responsibility, but just some additional burden that he was carrying that led him to this judgment to pursue the drug dealing. As his family noted, his behavior and thought processes had changed since the removal of the tumor. And on behalf of Mr. Gibson, the main point I would like to assert is that it appears that Judge Crabb did not look at the striking detail under the mental health history, but took more of a generic view, and therefore I would argue that it's questionable or doubtful whether she considered those factors fully as he had requested. Thank you. I'll reserve.
Mr. Reinhart.
Good morning. David Reinhart for the United States from the Western District of Wisconsin. This is not a close case. The district court specifically addressed this defendant's primary argument, acknowledged the defendant's physical and mental health issues, and meaningfully considered them, and simply disagreed with the defendant's position in this particular case. And as far as not considering fully the defendant's medical history, I'm not sure how far the district court has to go. They don't have to mention every ailment that this defendant has that's already listed in the pre-sentence report. I think that the court did talk about the defendant's brain tumor, his seizures, and other problems that this defendant was having. So the court did go over in a fair amount of detail this defendant's medical history. Further, the district court did set forth its reasons for rejecting the defendant's argument that he deserves a sentence below the advisory guideline range. First, the district court reasoned that the defendant's mental and physical health did not impair his ability to distribute drugs. And as mentioned earlier, this wasn't one act committed by the defendant in this case. He was able to negotiate with his source down in Chicago. He was able to negotiate with his customers in Madison. He enlisted the help of other individuals to assist him in dealing drugs, and he did hide the drugs and drug proceeds. Second, the district court also reasoned that this defendant had a history of dealing drugs, and this wasn't his first conviction. He had several prior convictions in the past. And finally, the district court reasoned that, hey, this was a conservative estimate of the relevant conduct in this case. The court didn't even consider statements of two women who were chauffeuring him around while he was dealing drugs. I mean, those statements would have increased his relevant conduct. I think, in short, the district court didn't abuse its discretion when it sentenced this defendant to the middle of the guideline range. There was no procedural error. There was no substantive error. And we would ask this court to affirm the district court.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Reagan. Anything further, counsel?
Just very briefly, Your Honors, a very specific point was made on behalf of Mr. Gibson in this mental history category, and what remains unclear is whether the district court took the very specific argument or the very specific point expressed and considered that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.